It's time to talk cars, have a little fun, serious talk, and a ton of passion with Steve, Felicia, and the rest of the gang here on Drive Friendly.
Good morning and welcome to another edition, another weekend, another Saturday of Drive Friendly. I'm your host, Steve Rozanski from Friendly Auto Centers in Mesa. And over here to my left is my sidekick and beautiful wife, Felicia Rozanski of Platinum Realty. Good morning.
Good morning,
and
everybody.
We have some cool guests
on today. I'm so excited. I could barely stand it.
I know.
And I can't wait till we get through your segment so we can get to
it. And before you interrupt me 7,000 more times.
Are we doing an over and under on this today?
No, we're not.
It's going to be 27 today.
27
interruptions?
Times,
okay.
That's not so bad.
All right.
Anyway, we have Luann Lennox from Tequila Snobs. So anybody who wants to learn anything about tequila, stick around because this woman is awesome. She hosts these great parties, margaritas. I mean, this is really good stuff. So stick around because you're going to want to talk to her. And as usual, we have Matt the Mustache Watson, your neighborhood State Farm dealer located on Power and Brown. Absent today is Ryan Steckelberg.
Because it's almost the end of the year. And
it's on a date.
I'm going to talk a little bit about real estate at the end. We're like on super steroids right now in the Valley. And Ryan we know he lost his hair, but I think he lost a lot. He is so busy with his loans and refinancing.
Well, that's good. So I'm going to kick off the show. You know, this is 1580, the Fanatic, CBS Sports Radio. And I want to start out with the Jets, as I usually do. I'm not wearing any more green. That's it. You've seen the last of it. How the hell could they lose another game like this? 40-3. So I know that Ryan's been giving you the best tips of the week. This week, the Jets are underdogs by 17.5 points with the Rams. Take the Rams minus 100. The Jets are going to lie there like they're in a hospital bed with their heads up like this. They're done. They're toast. Everybody should be fired.
What a few people might not know, and this is a little Jets trivia. Do you know what quarterback ended the game for Seattle this past week that beat the Jets? When they beat the Jets like 40-3.
Yeah, they threw an
Do you know who the quarterback was they threw in when they took Russell Wilson out because he didn't need to play anymore? Does anybody know? Matt, do you know the answer to that?
DJ Metcalf. They put in a wide receiver.
No. Geno Smith.
Geno Smith.
And I was happy to see him.
That's a good Jet.
I love it. Because that guy got so – I mean, we don't agree about this. He thinks he was just a terrible quarterback. I think he was never given a fair chance like everyone else. And the fact that he could come back after basically the Jets destroying his career – and be on the Seattle Seahawks and just shove it in the Jets' face. And I love my Jets, but you know what? They had it coming with Geno Smith. That's
absolutely.
All I'm gonna
say. It was nice retribution.
Anyway, we got some questions.
Well, there's a few things. I want to just do quick house cleaning.
That's number three.
You want to do house cleaning?
Not house cleaning.
Write this day down.
I want to get this.
Please, everybody record this and replay this for the rest of my life because this is 28 years. It's never freaking happened.
You may be part of this house cleaning pretty soon.
Okay, fine. You know this is a 50-50
state,
my friend.
Stop interrupting. Anyway, all right, so the Jets, they really upset me. And here's another thing that grinds my gears that I'm bringing out this week. People who Zoom and drive, all right? It's bad enough we're on our cell phones all the time, and I'm just as bad as anybody else. Now, lately, I see people watching movies while they're driving. I don't believe in it, but Zooming while you're driving. If you're hosting a Zoom meeting and one of your people is driving, block them out because it's stupid, it's irresponsible, and it's causing accidents. It's like they're drinking coffee, watching a Zoom meeting, participating, sometimes taking notes.
And going 65 or 80
on the 60. And I'm watching
this
on the 60. I'm like looking over. There's like a whole office meeting going on in the car next to me. Also want to give a shout out to a couple of customers. Actually, Mr. and Mrs. Westmoreland, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, drove all the way from Glendale with their BMW. They're loyal listeners of the show. And
thank
I want to give
so
a shout
much.
Out to them. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening. And of course, Ed White, I know you're listening today. He came in. He had a whole lot of work done, but he actually ordered barbecue sauce from one of my favorite places in Brooklyn and surprised me with that. So that was pretty awesome of him. And now we're going to get on to the subject matter today. And we're going to talk about, well, Felicia's going to throw some questions at me, but the topic is, how do you choose an auto repair shop? I mean, I'd love all of you to come to me. That would be great. But most of you may have a mechanic that you're happy with, you're loyal to, and I'm all for that. Okay. But you may be new to the area. You may be upset with your old mechanic. How do you choose?
Or you may be going to one of those chains and realizing finally, hey, I'm getting ripped off every time I walk in because the pressure to sell. And this is one thing I have definitely seen and learned from you, the pressure to sell from these franchises and from these big box places, the pressure put on managers to sell is unreal. And they don't have any stake in your loyalty because they're just big corporations and they don't care. They're strictly doing metrics. They're strictly doing numbers. They won't know Mr. and Mrs. Moreland because they won't remember their names because they don't care.
Well, you just didn't remember. It's Westmoreland.
See, there you go. But anyway, the point is I never had to, when I first met Steve, it was like, he's like, I'm not like any other mechanic you've ever met. Well, here's the thing. I was a New York City girl and I didn't own a car. So knowing a mechanic was not something that was ever on my radar and never has been because then we got married and I have a problem with my car. I just throw it at him. But
yes,
unless you're married to a highly reputable, successful mechanic, how do you find one? Because everyone can't all come to you. I mean, we're Mesa. A lot of people travel really far, but we have listeners all over the country.
Yes.
And some people are also, you know, fairly far away and it might not be convenient for them. So how do you find a good repair shop?
Well, I always say stay away from the big box places, and I'm going to list some competitors and I'll get to the reason why. You have Wilhelm Automotive, you have Sun Devil Automotive, you have BrakeMax. These have all been purchased by some big conglomerate in New York. And now they're just part of a huge chain of people. They're not interested in the personal touch. They're not interested in really who you are. They are interested in what's called KPIs, key performance indicators. And they don't want to do engine jobs. They want to sell tires. They want to sell brakes. They want to sell the quick, highly profitable jobs. And these are full commission people. So they don't care, you know, that you can't make payments or you can't afford this, or they just want to sell everything. We recently had a car. I'm not going to go into a whole long story. The lady didn't know what was wrong with the car. She took it to Firestone. Firestone did like $1,000 worth of work. We're going to try this. She left with the same problem. And when she went back to them, they were like, oh, we don't know. We tried everything. Take it over to Friendly. And we were able to find the problem in, you know, an hour. It was like not a big deal. But, you know, they made sure they flushed every fluid and all this kind of stuff. So I always say stay away from the big box stores. Independent garage owners, independent owners like myself and other great repair shops here, Gilbert, Mesa, Fountain Hills, everywhere, are the lifeblood. We live here. We spend money here. The money's not shipped back to New York
and
or
we
to
pay
Texas.
Our people good salaries
and yes
and
we
take
do.
Care of health care.
They work 5 days, so you don't have tired, beat up mechanics. The last thing you want to do is go to a chain on a Saturday afternoon while you're off to go, you know, I'm going to drop my car off, go hiking, and the mechanic's sitting there going, why the hell am I working on a Saturday
or
a
Sunday?
Sunday,
which is just horrible.
Oh, yeah. I passed by one of those O-Tire places. It's 7:30 at night. These guys are crushed.
What kind of service you think you're getting from someone 7:30 at night that wants to be home with their family?
Trust me. I know these guys, and they want to be home with their wives for dinner, and they have to work because that's what the deal is. You know, it's basically if you see a shop that has a gazillion commercials on TV, stay away from those. They're just big box places, and they are also the most expensive places. Consumer Reports has said year after year after year, independently owned repair shops are the best places to take your cars, best warranties, best prices, and they know your name walking in. They don't rotate service managers and stuff
so if
around.
If I'm looking for one, how do I find? I mean, there's no like Google. Hey, is there a Google like local repair shops? And well, how do I know? Do I read reviews?
Reviews are very, very important. You know, that's the first thing I would do. So let's say you just moved into Mesa and you choose BMW or repair. Now I may pop up, but so could Ace Performance and the guy around the corner from me. And they're all good guys. Don't get me wrong. I know these guys, they're all good. So what do you do next? You look at their reviews. That's the natural course of today's world. Look at their reviews. Then go to their website. If they have a website, good shops will have a website, and you'll see what they specialize in. The shop may not do BMWs. The shop may exclusively do BMWs. So you want to gear towards that. Also, if you find the shop that you like, go to the shop and ask for a tour. I can't tell you how many times I walk people through my shop weekly. People come in, hey, I heard about you, I'd like to check you out. I'm like, yeah, let's walk through the shop. I introduce them to mechanics. Let's say it's a Toyota. We have a master Toyota mechanic on staff. He worked for Toyota for 15 years. So if they're driving the Toyota, I'm going to introduce them to the mechanic that's going to be potentially working on their vehicle. They shake hands. They say hello. They talk about problems.
It sounds like you're building a relationship.
It's all about relationship. And you know what? We have had the same guys basically since we've opened. I mean, everybody's been with. I have a wonderful staff. I'm in this business 44 years. I have no problem saying I have the best staff I ever had.
So you think one of the questions should be how long have your mechanics been with you?
Yeah. This.
Or
yeah.
Do you have a head mechanic? I mean, you know. Also, yeah. if a shop doesn't have a website, I would probably stay away.
Yeah.
Because they're not keeping on. They're not on top of what's going on.
Well, remember that shop, the guy with the engine job in Phoenix. He went to those discounted engine places, and he couldn't find his receipt because he moved, and he called the customer, he called the repair shop. The repair shop, nope. I need your receipt. He's like, well, don't you have it on computer? We don't have computers. We don't do any of that. And the invoice ended up just saying one engine installed, no warranty information, no nothing. And when he went back, they said, you don't have proof. We can't do anything. And he didn't have credit card receipt because they're cash only. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, Steve. So before, obviously, I'm religious friendly auto centers. That's where I'm going now. But before that, I would go to whoever I saw in the commercial, right? Or whoever was close to my house. So, but one of the things is when you take it, do you do estimates and writing, and how does that impact it? Because what I found in the past is that take it in there. Hey, we got to fix this, 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 it's going to be this much. And then when I get it done, it's they say it's like $200-$300 more. I mean, how does that impact your, the estimate and the work you got to have done?
Well, there's always the unknowns in auto repair. And when it's a large job, we always tell customers, there's got to be a little wiggle room, because we may take something apart. And let's say there's a $20 clamp that's not reusable, but that normally is. You know, you can't call the customer every 5 minutes and say, oh, you need a $20 clamp. You need a $5 hose. You know, so, you know, an estimate is truly to the word. It's an estimate. It's estimated that it's going to cost you $200. But if you end up with a bill of $210, the guy's not ripping you off. There are other unforeseen things. Just like when you're getting a home repair done. You get Jeff Knutson go up on your roof and he gives you a price of $10,000 to do the roof. And then, oh, by the way, you have a broken whatever sheathing underneath. It's going to cost more.
But should you always expect a written estimate? I mean, is that reasonable?
Yeah, a written estimate is absolutely, we do it. I mean, when your customer comes in, we write an estimate, we email them, text them. They can actually pick and choose which work they want done. But you should always get an estimate in writing. And 99% of the time, they're dead on. But there is always the exception of a little minor thing. If there's something major, a couple of hundred dollars, yes, you should get a phone call, because a couple of hundred dollars is not $5 or $10. But yes. And there's also a difference between an estimate and diagnosis. If you go to some shop and say, hey, I'm having a noise, and he spends an hour looking at the noise, and then you give him an estimate, and the customer says, well, I'm going to go search somewhere else. The customer should be expected to be charged for that hour that he was for diagnosing. So estimates, yes, are free, but diagnosis in these times are not free. Like, we'll do a brake check, that's free. A leak check, that's free. Fluids, you know, normal things. But if you have to get into depth to diagnose or engine running condition, something like that, that's not an estimate, that's a diagnosis. But yes, written estimates are a necessity. You have to have that. I'm going to turn this over to the person to my left. This giant microphone is now hanging down. Why is this like this?
I don't know.
I feel like there's a third person in the room.
I don't understand that, but I tell you what, I don't really care, because I'm so excited about having Luann here. I'll sit right on top of the mic just to get to talk to her. So I've known Luann, you know, we travel like in periphery circles. We kind of pass each other through life the last few years, but I was very, very lucky that a couple of months ago for College Bound AZ, which, as you know, is one of my foundation charities that I just love, they did an auction, and Luann's Tequila Snobs, who is Tequila Snobs, she teaches people about tequila, and I won a tequila tasting.
And it was fun.
And it was totally fun. But in the world of social distancing, and our family we have some issues with our family medically, so we're very, very careful. But Luann did come to our house, and she did a tequila tasting, socially distant. Luann, tequila, I don't even know where to start. First of all, why tequila? The whole world's doing wine tasting and beer tasting, and you were like, yeah, I'm going to go with tequila. So tell me, why tequila? What attracted you to tequila?
It's an interesting story. I was in the fitness field, so I never drank anything, not even wine, not anything, and lived in Michigan. And as a Michigander, there's no There's not really much tequila. It's mostly beer from the Canadians up above us. And moved to Arizona 20 years ago. And my friends were having a Cinco de Mayo, whatever that is, party like that. In Michigan, you've never heard of any Cinco de Mayo. You don't have any idea what that is. And so I went to the party. They said, you got to bring a bottle of tequila. I'm like, okay, we don't even drink. So I go to the grocery store, buy the prettiest bottle I can find, just because that's all that mattered, that it was pretty. And they had all these tequila bottles, and they were really, really pretty. And there was this special room where we went in, where all the real high end, the $200 and $300 tequilas were. And this guy was talking about them, and it was a friend, and it was very casual. I mean, think about it. It was a party with 90 people. And then I just saw those bottles, and they were so pretty, and they were all different, because of course wine bottles are all alike except for their groovy labels. And so the following year, I started getting involved and looking at them and getting excited. So the following year, they said, Luann, we want you to run the tasting room, that special room. So of course, I'm a total overachiever. So I had to dig into the internet and talk to people and learn as much as I possibly could about tequila. So, and I just obsessively started collecting really just pretty bottles. It wasn't about the juice inside at that point. It was really just about the unique, pretty bottles. Well, then this is about 10 years ago. Then as it continued, I started getting very familiar with what was inside and how it was made. And there's some that are made very cheaply and quickly. And then there's others that are made very slowly, the old fashioned way. And I started to know which ones tasted different. And I was talking about it passionately in front of a group of people one day, just like talking about tequila, and you can come to my house and we'll do a tasting. And one gal spoke up and said, could you ever bring the tequila bottles to my house? And I'd invite some friends over and we could all taste all of them instead of us all driving to your house. And I was like, sure. And suddenly my business plan was born.
Wow. You know, I've been to a lot of parties in the Valley from a lot of women. They do makeup parties and they like, you know, Mary Kay parties and Scentsy parties, and they're all fun. And I have plenty of Mary Kay and plenty of Scentsy, and I love all of them. But when you came to our house and you had that like wagon, like that cart, and all you did was unload tequila bottles, I got to tell you, it was a whole lot better than anything I'd ever experienced. Can you tell me a little bit about your parties? I mean, I know it was a little unusual because we were a small group and we did do social distancing. We were wearing masks, you were wearing a mask until we tasted. But tell us about your parties. I mean, we did a virtual party with you the other night too, with another group. So you could do it both ways.
Got a lot of tequila in my house.
And what you experienced really isn't any different than if there were 10 or 12 or 15 people. It really wasn't very different, except I just had my mouth covered and you couldn't see my mouth. Otherwise, they really aren't different. Very different than the parties that you talk about, like Mary Kay and candle parties and you know, those type of parties. There isn't anything to buy. I'm not a distributor. A distributor license. If I was, then I could only sell one brand. And the beauty of my parties is I bring 10 to 15 different types of tequila. You get to taste all of them. And then you pick and choose what your favorites are. And then you go to your local liquor store and you purchase the ones that you remember that you liked. That's another thing. I always bring tequilas that I know you can get here in your local area, as we sit here in Arizona. I used to bring some real specialty stuff and people would fall in love with it and they'd go, oh, where do we get this? And I'd go, oh, you can only get this in Mexico, or they don't make this one anymore, but I thought it would be really special. Total party downer. I have found that I bring everything that you can then go out and buy. So unlike those type of parties, it's more of an event. You're tasting lots of different tequilas, and then you pick and choose the ones you want, and there's nothing to buy at the party. You pay per person.
Luann, I drank a lot of tequila back in the day, and now, And usually it's, hey, give me the cheapest tequila you can get because I'm looking to have a good time. Is there really that big of a difference between what I used to get at the college bar and then what you bring to customers?
Okay. Huge, huge, huge question.
Huge difference.
And lots of people will often say, no. I can't even smell tequila. I can't drink tequila. I had that one time. But I find that usually what happens is there was a lot of beer and then a lot of drinks with umbrellas. And then at the end of the night, someone yells, let's do shots.
Were you with me?
Does a shot. Familiar. And then you're trashed in the morning. You lose all of your food for the previous week. And you blame it on the poor little tequila shot. And it's so not true. The truth is, okay, I'm trying to be fast now. You have to drink 100% agave tequila. If you're drinking tequila that says anything else on the label, like agave's in here, or lotta agave.
Or gold, remember or gold?
Yes, yes.
I learned.
Make sure that it just says 100% agave on the label. And I promise, if you put a glass of water in between every tequila shot, you will not have a hangover in the morning. You got to hydrate your brain, so put some water in there. But if you drink just straight 100% agave, you won't feel bad in the morning. Now, let me again try to Reader's Digest version it. They do taste different. And the people right next to me who've just recently tasted some less expensive ones with Steve and Felicia, the first ones we tasted were less expensive. Mm-hmm. And then the last one we tasted was more expensive. Was there a difference?
Smooth.
Yeah, that was one. My favorite was the Reposado. That was my favorite.
I like the Añejo. Well, and then what's interesting is if you're a bourbon drinker or a whiskey drinker, there's a tequila for you.
Yes.
Explain how that works.
Because they're rested. Tequila, any of the aged tequilas are rested in barrels. An oak barrel, and they'll be rested in a new barrel, a charred barrel, or they'll be rested in a barrel that used to have whiskey in it, or one that used to have cognac in it, or bourbon. So of course, it's going to take on the flavors of those other spirits that was in that barrel. And often they'll be rested for a year, 2 years, up to maybe 7 years. So the short answer is, yes, there's a huge difference between less expensive and cheaper made tequila, as opposed to older, more aged, or just it's prepared differently. And a quick synopsis would be either it's made in an oven, it's baked in a proper stone oven, or it's made by a machine and they use hydrochloric acid to cook. Ooh. The agave.
That sounds nasty.
So there's the difference. Yeah. So our chips, I love Chips Ahoy. I don't mean anything against Chips Ahoy, but Chips Ahoy cookies as opposed to homemade chocolate chip cookies. That's kind of the difference.
I like Chips Ahoy.
And you want to make sure that the agaves are older. That's the plant that they use. So it's kind of like making banana bread with green bananas or making banana bread with really ripe bananas. It's just going to have more flavor.
Now, I know there's three kinds of tequila, right? There's Blanco, Reposado, there's no S, and then Añejo.
Añejo.
So when you're making margaritas, let's say, or frozen blender drinks, does it matter what you use?
It doesn't matter because you're putting a lot of fruit and some other fun stuff in with the drink. However, you just want to kind of think about food pairing. The Reposados and the Añejos are aged, which means they're aged in that barrel, remember? So they're going to take on more flavors like honey, oak, just warmer and more smooth, oaky, kind of warm honey and vanilla flavors. So that type of tequila will blend, I think, better in a margarita with maybe strawberries or blackberries or pumpkin. But if
you're speaking of pumpkin, No. Another thing you do, and I want to make sure that our listeners hear it, because maybe they might want to do a Zoom party, and it might be overwhelming for them, for everybody to get all these tequilas. But one thing you did, and we did this with our friends at College Bound earlier the week, was you gave everybody a list of ingredients to buy. And then you taught us how to make margaritas in a Zoom party. So everyone was sitting in their own kitchens, and we had all these fun ingredients, and we made cranberry margaritas, and we made pumpkin
spice margaritas. Oh my God, with apple
pumpkin
cider.
Spice margarita. In a million years, I never thought I would like it. And it was absolutely just so yummy. Is that something, yeah. I mean, will you do that for more people? Do those kind of parties?
Should have done
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a great gathering, especially with maybe your family, or with your friends that normally everybody comes over at New Year's, or you do an open house. It's a great idea. And let me reiterate, the list of ingredients is very, very short.
Oh, tiny.
Super simple, easy margarita to make. It's way fun. And then when you're done, you all have your drinks and I can jet out and you can stay on my Zoom line and talk about the aunts and uncles and anything. You know, it could be a big party, but I'm kind of the reason to get together. And that's very fun. Very,
I think
very
me
fun.
And Matt are going to go take a couple of bottles of tequila and some water, take a side-by-side, head up into the mountains and test the theories out about whether, you know, we drink a shot of tequila followed by a shot of water until the bottle's empty and see if we have a headache.
Well, you know, what? You also gave us a really interesting fact about tequila, that it's different than a lot of other alcohols because it's not a depressant.
Yes, it's an antidepressant. Most other alcohols, especially wine, are depressant. And yes, it has antidepressant properties. It's just more of an upper as opposed to making you sleepy. Yes.
Oh. So better to wash down those pills.
No, we are not encouraging that.
No, I'm not encouraging.
Do not take pills and alcohol. That is bad. That is a Marilyn Monroe cocktail.
So
don't do
Prozac
that.
Prozac and tequila. No, it's a bad kind of counteractive. Huh?
It's bad enough that I'm on a driving show and we're talking about drinking. Like that's the bad enough problem.
We do not endorse the views.
You know, we only have a couple more minutes.
That's all right. Matt's in insurance.
We only have a couple And I know we have most of our listeners are on the radio, but for those of us who watch us on Facebook and are watching us on YouTube, you have an incredible collection of beautiful tequila bottles. Can you just describe a couple of them to us? And remember, most people are listening, so try to give a good...
I want that behind that bar. That's what I want.
Okay, I'm deciding.
Look at that rack she's got.
Tequila.
Oh my God. I meant, well, that's nice too, but I meant the bottles and stuff.
Okay. Bruh. I didn't hear.
We were talking about.
No, you don't need to. Let's talk about the bottle.
Since we just stepped away from Halloween, this is a rare one. They don't make this anymore. And I don't know how well you can see.
Oh, it's a skeleton.
Wow, it's beautiful.
It's a skull. But there are rhinestones all around his eyes and all around his teeth. There's these beautiful, beautiful rhinestones. And I got this actually in a local store, a local liquor store right here in the valley. This one, you're going to think is the same, and it's so not. This is red glass, so the liquor is not red, but it is...
A heart.
Ooh, that's very like...
Heart with the veins in the back. You know, and
there's a little bloodlust in that.
It's not that thing Indiana Jones had to get
off
the thing.
Like Temple of Doom.
Yeah.
Right. It's pretty fun. This one's fun. Now, many of you probably recognize and know this one. It's very, very tall.
Oh, I love that bottle. It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
You're looking at pepper?
No.
It looks like a big pepper shaker, like a Damask.
Oh, right. Yes, it does. Yes. Class Azul. White with the beautiful blue hand painted, but this is something that's pretty rare that you won't see a lot of. It's the exact same shape. It's Class Azul as well, but it's black and it has 14 karat gold and platinum painted. So all of the designs on it are painted with 14 karat gold and platinum. They only make 100 of these each year. 50 stay in Mexico and 50 come to the States.
Wow.
Very, very rare. About $250 to $300 a shot.
Wow.
Depending on where you are.
That's crazy.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful tequila.
Me and Matt have some experimentation homework to work on. But Luann, we had a question for you. Matt, you had a question. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just curious about the bottles and what's inside them. And you got pretty bottles. Should I expect the high-end tequila in those pretty bottles, or should I expect a pretty bottle and I'm paying for the bottle and not for the tequila?
A lot of times it's marketing, and the reason they have that pretty bottle is to attract people, and people will spend lots of money on it. But most of the time you are not going to find very inexpensive, low quality tequila in these bottles that are in excess of $100. There are a lot of apps, and just, you can do a little bit of research before you drop $100 on a bottle. You can do some research, or you can contact me.
I'm going to call her. We're going to go to the wine store this weekend and stock up. So I was embarrassed with what we had to have the other night.
So how do we get in touch? How do people get in touch with you?
TequilaSnobs.com. Certainly. I'm very active on Facebook. So there's a Tequila Snobs community that you can request to join. There's a couple thousand people, and we just kind of all talk back and forth. It's a very fun, great place to be. And then also on Facebook is Tequila Snobs LLC, which is really my business page. And that's where you'll find details about my parties. You'll find descriptions, and above all, a lot of people talking about my events.
Well, Tequila, I got to tell you that Tequila Snobs, you are anything but snobs, because I've been to some of your parties, and it is, listen, you're right. Tequila is a friendly drink, and they are friendly people, and anybody can jump in at any time. You don't have to be, there's no in or out crowd. It's just people joining to have a good time. It literally, the more the merrier. So I highly, highly recommend checking this out. And if you want to do any kind of party, whether it's local or you have people all over the country and you want to get together, this is just a great, great thing to do.
Absolutely. And there was one other question off the air, and I just, a quick 10 second thing. What's the deal with the worm in the bottle thing?
Great question.
Not quick. I hate that question. The end of the story is, usually you'll find a worm in a mezcal, which is another type of agave spirit. But the worm truly was put in the bottle by the Mexicans to see if the stupid gringos would fall for it. It really is just a joke.
All right, so we just sent Mexican-American relations back about 50 years, but that's okay, because we encourage tequila. We're just going to move. We got to move along a little bit. We'll get back to Luann at the end of the show. But I had a lot of very, very, very interesting seminar that I was part of yesterday for all realtors in the Valley. And those lucky enough, and I will totally credit the Cromford Report. They are amazing. Tina Tambor, they're just wonderful. They know everything about housing in the Valley. And I just really, we haven't talked about it in a couple of weeks because it's been the same old news. Prices are up, demand is up, quantity is down. But I want to throw some things out to you and let people know what's really happening, okay? There is a slight uptick in forbearance. So we're seeing a slight uptick in people who are going through forbearance. Forbearance meaning that they're still not able to make their mortgage payments. They're being forgiven from the bank, not forgiven so much as you never have to pay it, but more like you can pay it later. So we're seeing a little more than that as the economy, and we're seeing it, the economy is slowing down a little bit. Employment is slowing down a little bit. It's such a crazy time. It's so hard to see what's going on, but we are seeing a little uptick in forbearance. However, the demand index in the Valley right now, if 100 is a normal market, meaning demand and supply can meet each other, the demand is at 136%. So that means there's 34% above average. We are heavily, heavily in a seller's market right now. We are 35%. So at 134.6, we're almost 35% above normal demand for the year. And we're not talking about just December, because December is typically pretty slow. But we're talking about the whole 2020 versus 2019. We're 60% below normal supply. So demand is up 35%, supply is down 60%. And for those of you who keep saying the prices are going to go down, I'm just waiting. Of course, we cannot predict the future, but according to people way smarter than me, we have gotten about an average 17% appreciation this year of our homes. Next year, the prices are going to go up another 17 to 20%. So if you are waiting for the prices to go down in 2021, you could just close your eyes and wake up in 2022 or 2023, because it's not going, they don't, barring any, you know, first of all, who saw the pandemic coming? I mean, that's arguable, but barring any true collapse in the economy, the prices are going to keep appreciating. They will continue to grow up. It'll slow, the increase in prices will slow down a little bit. They won't be as crazy going up, but they do expect it to appreciate between 17 and 20% next year.
Wow.
So, yeah. So if you're thinking, so, but here's the thing, and this is what I want to explain to buyers. A lot of buyers are sitting on the side waiting for the prices to go down. I'm saying buy now, next year you'll have equity. Because it's most likely going to go up. What are you waiting for? You're, even if it goes down, do you think the prices are going to go down 20%? So if the prices are rising 17% this year, even if they go down 10%, they're still 7% higher. So they're just going to keep going up appreciably over the, at least over the next 12 to 18 months. And the supply is down 47% since last year. So, I mean, there's just, there's a real crush going on. And the biggest crush we're seeing is between the $300,000 and $400,000 market. I mean, those houses are staying on the market under 5 days. And 65% of them are going for over asking price. Now, what's also really interesting is, you know, who's buying these homes? The people who are buying the homes, who's buying the homes? Because back, you know, are investors buying the homes? Are iBuyers buying the homes? Are second vacation people buying the homes? 77% of all the homes being sold in the Valley are being sold to people who are going to live there, which is a big change that we've seen in the Valley over the last 10 years. We saw a lot back 10, 15, 20 years ago. A lot of people were buying homes here as investment purposes. They were buying homes for second homes. While there are 12% are still investors, only 9% are second homes. 77% of people are going to live in the homes that they're buying now. So we're talking about people really investing in the Valley and living in the Valley and staying here all year long. So instead of our economy going up and down as the seasons changes, it marks a more steady economy for Phoenix because people are staying. They're not leaving so much, except for vacation, which God willing, we'll all be able to take in 2021. What's also very interesting is for my friends in Maricopa, all the way down in Maricopa, everyone thought 10 years ago, Maricopa was going to be the place to be. They built a ton of houses. They built a couple of supermarkets. They built a Walmart, and then they went away. So, and then everything switched more to the East Valley, to Queen Creek and Santan, which really blew up. Well, we found out yesterday that Maricopa is getting a hospital.
Oh, wow.
So along with the hospital comes a lot of support services, comes doctors and nurses and clinicians and support staff. So for anyone interested, Maricopa, there might be a spark of life back in there. And it might actually turn around and become a lot more like Santan Valley. And if you have not been to Santan Valley in 3 years, you don't know what, not know what Santan Valley is like anymore, because that has, it is completely blown up. There are supermarkets and shopping malls and parks and things for kids to do and community centers. And it is just, it's nothing like it was a few years ago. So for those of you who are still sitting on the side and waiting, I'll say, yeah, 3 years ago, nobody wanted to move to Santan Valley because it only had two roads going in and out. Now you're lucky if you can get a house there for under $300,000. And a few years ago, there were people who didn't want to move to Gilbert because it smelled like cows. Well, I defy you to find a cow living in Gilbert anymore.
It's not anywhere anymore.
And it's crazy. The other thing that's really important to note, though, and this is how the Valley is really changing, and I want people to understand this. There was a slight increase from 2019 to 2020 in multifamily housing permits. People making permits for multifamily housing, you know, like such as if you would have an apartment house, a condo. Except here's the difference. These multifamily units are not going to be for sale. These are going to be rental units. So we are getting a lot more rental units being built here. So there's a lot less, there's going to be less people coming in. They will have an alternative to home ownership. They will be able to rent. And there's also a lot of buildings, homes that are being built, which are not intended to ever be sold. They're also intended for home rentals. So there is a little bit of a switch for people. You know, there's always, especially with millennials, a lot of times they're not sure that they want to make the commitment to put roots down, to make that big $20,000 or $30,000 down payment, to sign up for a 30-year mortgage. So there's going to be a lot more rental opportunities available. However, there's a problem going on in Tempe right now with this beautiful complex that they're building, which is like the no car complex. A lot of the units, housing units that are being built, studio apartments, the rumor is that studio apartments are going to start going for about $1,500 a month. Now, you and I know that is not what a family can live in, cannot live in a studio apartment. No. A gig economy worker, someone who drives for Uber, who works in a call center, who works at, you know, Amazon, who works at Fry's, they're not going to be able to afford $1,500 a month. So these are for upper level economics. So the question always is going to be, where is everyone else going to live? So it's just very interesting to see what's being built, where it's being built, and how it's being presented on the marketplace. And I think it's you know, the Valley is changing.
What's amazing to me is, as a U-Haul dealer, we get a lot of customers moving into the Valley where a drop-off, but we're also, you know, where you can rent outward. There's a lot of, I'm seeing a lot of people leaving for Florida. But what's really funny is I have people who come in, they return their U-Haul, and, you know, just pleasantries. Hey, where'd you move to? We don't know yet. My husband's going to look for a job and we have to find a place to rent. It's like, didn't you think of this before you got here? And they're staying in some of these questionable motels along Apache Trail. And they're just coming here without a plan, without anything. And they're expecting to find a rental home for under $2,500 a month, or even under $2,000 a month. It's like, you moved to the wrong state. You're about 5 years too late. And I'm not in real estate. I'm just going by, you know, pricing because I'm married to Felicia. But we're getting a lot of people who are coming in and then they're leaving. And it's amazing where they're going. We're seeing people going to, what's it, Arkansas, Florida, Tennessee is a hot location. Crazy.
So, I mean, there's, look, in the long run, Phoenix is a very healthy place to be. It's very healthy. The business is very healthy. There's great economics here. There's a lot of businesses coming in and we have a lot going for us, yeah. But we're not that backwater state we used to be. And we're not the cheapest kids on the block anymore.
No, it's definitely.
And people just need to realize that. And they also need to realize what they thought they were going to get 2 years ago. It's not happening now. It's not happening. Houses, we are having a lot of new builds that, you know, my feelings about new builds, they're great if you get an inspection and you go with a realtor and you cover your, you know what, because not all things are built equally. And even the ones with the best names and the best reputations, it really depends on the staff they hire to build the house. And there's a shortage of those workers, yeah. You know, and there's a shortage of people to make your houses better. I mean, if you want to put an extension on your house now, if you want to put some new windows in, if you want to upgrade anything, there's a line, there's a wait.
Oh yeah.
Because people are realizing the value of their home. So in the long run, we have a very healthy housing market that's going to be healthier. Our homes are going to be nicer. Mm-hmm. And this is all good news. But I really need to let people know, don't wait.
Yeah, today's the cheapest day you're going to get a house for.
Anyway, we only have a few more minutes and we have to get to Matt, good neighbor.
Matt.
Hey, listen, Matt Watson, State Farm. I'm over here at Brown & Power, 480-830-7283. You can get a hold of me. But what I love about this is it's time to talk about the good neighbor segment. And we've talked about some really heartwarming stuff. I was talking to a friend of ours, Linda Haskell, with the Mesa Chamber of Commerce. And she was telling me a story about a family that she was talking to the mom and they were really struggling. And right now with the job and loss of job and everything happening in the world and in their life. And she was saying, we just simply don't even have food right now. And her son was there and her son said, Mom, we have food. And he's like, we've got some grapes in the refrigerator. And it just breaks your heart that they have grapes in the refrigerator and that's all they have. And so I was having this conversation and then Sherry Eklund from Teen Strong was dropped off an envelope for to me today to give to Linda to give to this family. And as we're doing this yesterday, I was able to drop off the Toys for Tots donation that between myself here at the office and then Bryce Scars from the Well Chiropractic Clinic put together and fill up an entire back of my truck. And then we talked about the drop location for the Midwest Food Bank over at Friendly Auto Centers. And so many of our friends at the Chamber of Commerce, College Bound AZ, and the things that people are doing today. And every year we share and we give when we can give. This year it just seems a little more special and more people are stepping up and the people that have always done it are doing it. And more people are stepping up. And so my good neighbor segment today is really about all of us. If you have a little to give, just give a little. If you have a lot to give, give more. If you don't have anything to give, and we said it before, reach out to any of us. I know the hearts of Steve and Felicia, and I know the hearts of so many in the chamber. And if you've got an opportunity, give. If you need an opportunity, let us know, and we'll find a way to help out. And you can find me at Matt Watson State Farm. Send me a private message or reach out to Steve and Felicia if you want to help or if you need some help. We're here.
Or even, and we only have 1 minute to go, or even just reach out to your local chamber. I mean, we live in Mesa. We work in Mesa. Love Mesa Chamber. It's unbelievable what they do for their community. But there's a lot of great chambers out there. And if you don't know where to give, or you don't know what's needed, you know, we've adopted a family. So we know, you know, whole lists. So their Christmas is pretty much given to them. And you want to do something like that. You want to adopt a family or just give a small donation. Reach out to like the Mesa Chamber or Chandler, Peoria, wherever you live. Call the chamber, the local chamber, and say, hey, I just want to give a little. Where's the need? And believe me when I tell you, they will tell you, and it will go to where it's needed. It's not going to go out of state. It's not even going to go out of your town. If you want to give in your town, to your community, to the people that you shop with and drive next to, this is the way to do it. Contact either us or contact your local chamber. It's super important this year. Some of us are doing really well, but there's a lot of people out there that are hurting. And it's going to be a couple of months before we can all lift our heads up again and turn this thing around.
Yep. So anyway, we're running out of time. So I want to thank our very special guest, Lou Ann Lennox from Tequila Snobs. Make sure you check her out because she's going to teach everything about tequila and you'll have a really good night's sleep.
And it's happy. You'll be happy.
It's an antidepressant. This is medical facts here. See, we should have had Dr. Ron Genova on to clarify all this stuff last week along with this.
I concur.
And of course, Matt Watson, the greatest state farm insurance located at Brown and Power. And of course, us here over at Friendly Auto Centers. I'm sorry, PK Jordan and Ryan Steckelberg weren't around. Ooh, I didn't think of that.
Start rumors.
That's an interesting pair. Oh. All righty. Listen, stick around. Have a Merry Christmas.
And we have a super exciting guest. We have like Santa Claus next week.
Yes, we do.
So I know it'll be the day after Christmas, but it's never too late for Santa Claus.
Yes. So everybody have a Merry, Merry Christmas. Stay home. Stay safe. See you all next week here at Drive Friendly. Stick around here at 1580 The Fanatic. Lots of great sports coming up today. And if you have nothing better to do, put the Jets game on so you can take a nice nap. See you all next week.
Thank you for listening to Drive Friendly with Steve and Felicia. Visit drivefriendlyaz.com for live shows, past shows, and more about our host and guests.